Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning and welcome to Coatesville Connection. This morning we're talking with Father Peter Welsh. Welcome, Father.
Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Very good. We were talking, Father, about, as we're heading into Advent, the idea of silence and being able to cultivate silence.
A beautiful season we're approaching with Advent and leading us into the Christmas season and the expectation of Israel awaiting the Savior, the first coming, and for us as receiving the Savior, waiting His coming in glory, that there needs to be that attention, and I think silence helps us to refocus us, to help us to remember who we are, who we belong to, where we are going. So the importance of silence is an important part of our lives, and even conversation, talking. It's really an ebb and flow of speaking and silence. You know, we're more, you might say, more in a listening attitude, mode, you know, when we are more open to silence. And especially, I think we want to try to hear what the Lord is saying to us. And our beautiful readings of the Advent season remind us of the Lord will be coming in glory. The Lord one day will establish his kingdom, the beautiful feast of Christ the King, concluding our liturgical year before going into the Advent season, just a reminder to us of the plan of salvation leading up to the day when everything will be under the dominion of Christ.
Father, we talked a little bit about how you maintain that silence, how you unplug.
God makes his home within us, and I think we might say that the awareness of that presence of God is perhaps, you know, the living out of the initial grace of baptism. We grow in that grace as we continue our journey of life. But exterior silence also helps us enter into that quiet recollection, that awareness of God within us. So I think the need to try to quiet, you know, our lives, find ways that we can enter more deeply into the interior silence by establishing exterior silence in our lives. We speak of the Lord as being our closest friend, our dearest friend, and that He does love us. And, you know, greet one another. We often use the words, "How are you?" as part of our greeting, but how often do we really stop and let someone answer that question? Or when we're asked, you know, "How's it going? How are you doing?" "Oh, fine," we might just say, but we're not really revealing to them what's going on inside. But it's with our closest, dearest friends, people that we trust, that we share our inner life. But I think if we could just approach the Lord more frequently and throughout the day a few times, especially when our boat does get rocked, I think it's a good time, you know, just to stop and to know that the Lord is there, and just to let Him speak those, you know, words to us. "How are you? How's it going? And tell me what you're feeling right now. What are you going through? What can I do for you? What is it you want me to do for you?" The beautiful words to Bartimaeus. He says those continually to us, that He really wants us to experience how close He is. And I think it's, you know, the mystery of celebrating the birth of Jesus, that God draws close to us. And we end our Christmas season with the baptism. And so this closeness of God that He wants to dwell and live within us, I think really is the insight of Brother Lawrence and Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, the indwelling presence of God, that God is within us. And sometimes we miss that closeness of God. We often have God is out there, but to let Him come into His Father sent His Son into the world, but He wants to send His Son into our world, especially our inner world, where we need Him. So I think the more that we can approach God in that real comfortable awareness of that He's there, that He loves us, that He knows the big picture of our lives, each of our lives, and He's guiding us, and to be able to talk to Him and then listen as He does instruct us and encourage us. I think it's entering into that beautiful reality of the communion of life that we're to live in. "Live on in my love," the beautiful words of Jesus in the Last Supper discourse. We're to live in that awareness of His constant love for us.
And Father, you also mentioned Carol Houselander, and I thought that was a wonderful analogy too, talking about being a chalice. And we're so full, we're so busy, we don't empty ourselves enough in terms of, if you want to look at it in terms of emptying yourself of the noise, or there's a lot of other ways you can empty yourself. But talk a little bit about what she wrote about in terms of that.
I think she used the image of a nest, you know, the birds gather the twigs and leaves to form a nest, this empty hollow, which the, you know, the eggs, the future life will be there. And, you know, at the Mass, the chalice is prepared, the empty chalice, into which is poured the wine and the drop of water that will become the body and blood of the Lord. So to our emptying of ourselves, that entering into that quietness, that emptiness, that, I might say, from the Beatitudes, that poverty of spirit, that emptiness, that disposition of allowing God to speak, allowing God to fill, allowing God to show His way in our lives. So that disposition of silence, of emptiness, of awaiting, allowing the Lord to, you know, to continue His work in us. He's created us. He's blessed us with our Catholic faith, and He's guiding our lives, and be able to have that opportunity to be filled again. The beautiful way that He does fill our lives. He gives us, He nourishes us with that daily bread, the Eucharist, the Word of Life, the ways that He fills us with His surprises in our day. But I think we can actually stop and create that quietness to be ready to receive from Him, that He will pour new graces into our hearts. I like the line from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, by waiting and by calm you shall be saved. In quiet and in trust your strength lies. I think a kind of a rebuilding of our spirit, a strengthening that comes to us as we enter into that quiet, that awareness that God is with us. Maybe sometimes we undertake too much on our own, and I guess that's the other aspect too of the beauty of that practice of the presence of God, is that He's always with us at every moment in every situation. And what's been a great help for me personally is to take all my I's and all my me's and change those to we and us. So, you know, I say, I have to do this. No, we're going to do this. Or I'm going to go visit this person. No, we are going to go visit this person. I have this meeting tonight. We have this meeting tonight. So the more that everything becomes this life of communion with God, and we do it, we share everything with Him, and really that it's more the Lord taking the lead, and we're to come along with Him. You know, they say it was credited to St. John Newman, but Lord, help me to remember that there's nothing that's going to happen to me today that you and I can't handle together. But it's really entering into that. What does that look like? It's a nice, you know, upbeat phrase and encouragement. But what does it look like? And I think when it gets down to the moment-to-moment living of life, is that we live always with God. God is with us. He is Emmanuel, the God who is with us, with each one of us at every moment in every situation. And to enter into that awareness, and I think that's where, you know, some of our, you know, guides over the centuries have been a help to us, that they've really taken that reality of God being with us, God guiding our lives, directing all that happens in our lives, and really just entering into that relationship with God, that He leads and we follow, and we're in this together. I think most of us, you know, to be near an infant, to approach an infant, there's a certain quietness and a gentleness that overcomes us, that we don't want to disturb or frighten the baby. So I think it just the, you know, that the Lord came as an, you know, into this world, and He came to celebrate His birth as an infant, just shows how much He wants us not to be afraid and to approach Him with that great confidence. So I find in, you know, that image is that he wants us to come to Him and not to be afraid. And I just take that beautiful, you know, God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world, that I've been reflecting on that he wants to enter into each of our lives, the world of each one of us. And really, that's what we are, a world unto our, you know, unto our, each one of us, unto ourselves, the reality of what makes up our lives, our own personal history, and that God knows every detail, and, you know, he knows the plan of our lives. So to really believe that he's with us, and he's interested in us, and he cares for every detail, I think we're touching, you know, what's offered to us in the scriptures. You know, he says, you know, that every hair on our head is counted, not a sparrow falls to the ground. I think Jesus is trying to convey to us how present, you know, God is to us. And I think that is entering into the kingdom, where we, in a sense, we get out of ourselves and we enter into this new life in God that begins at our baptism. We just heard recently the gospel of the widow who put her two little coins in, and Jesus said she gave more than all the others. They gave from their surplus, but she gave what she had to live on, and she gave that with that sacrifice. And I think, like, that's what God can see. God can see what we're giving. And I think, you know, the gift that we want to try to give is, more than anything else, is the gift of ourself. You know, we can give a present is one thing, but to really give our attention, our time, our being with others is really is a gift too. And maybe that's the direction of our as we're looking ahead to Christmas, our giving might be more of that, ways that we can share with others, especially, you know, sharing our lives and entering into sharing of their lives. I find always that what helps me, there's a little woman I used to visit. She's now, I pray with the Lord, but she was a widow, and, you know, they had no children, her and her husband, and she fell and broke her hip, and she lived just on the first floor of her two-story house, and she just had to knock at the window, people going by, and call them in, and they would go down to the store and get her something, you know, from the store. But she talked about how hard the holidays were for her. She simply just stated, she said, I hate the holidays, because it was such a lonely time for her when everybody was, you know, kind of celebrating and being together. It was such a contrast for her that, you know, being, you know, without family, and the days were long for her. So that memory of that, you know, experience is always in my mind, especially the holidays and as they're approaching. And, you know, most of us, they are a joyful, happy time, but for other people, they're a very difficult time, and to try to be sensitive to that and try to be, you know, attuned. Who are the people for whom the, you know, the holidays are a tough time?
That's a great point. I mean, and I think seeing Christ in the suffering, and seeing Christ in the poverty, and seeing Christ in the obscurity, you know, the idea that he is with those who suffer and those who are without a lot of means, that was the very image that Christ himself chose to appear on earth in his first, you know, in his incarnation. It wasn't the stuff of that, you know, the secular world would think of as significant, and yet what significance there was in his taking on our humanity.
He was missed by so many people. You know, one of the practices that we have, you know, in the Hispanic community is the posadas, where it means lodging, and the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and reenacting that, the journey paralleling the, you know, the final days of the Advent season, where we focus more on the coming of the birth of Jesus, and the readings centered on that first coming of Jesus. But for most people, the coming of Jesus was missed, and there was, you know, as the Christmas plays, the innkeepers, their line, there's no room in the inn, there's no room here. But I think that's the call to us, is to make room in our, first in our own hearts, to make room in our day for the Lord, to make room in our homes, and perhaps, you know, trying to look at some ways that gathers as a family in prayer. Beautiful practice of praying together as a family might be something that we could really help and support each other and really strengthen each other in this upcoming Advent season to make that room in our hearts and our homes for the Lord.
And Father, I know that you asked that we'd stop right here and we could do a brief meditation asking the intercession of our Blessed Mother to come into our lives this Advent and Christmas season and to bring us closer to her Son. So now we'll listen to a track from an Advent CD called Advent at Ephesus, and this is the Hail Mary, and this is done by the sisters at the Benedictine Monastery, Mary Queen of Apostles. That was beautiful. Again, Advent at Ephesus, and that's a CD put out by the Benedictine Sisters Mary, Queen of the Apostles. Father, here's another idea about what we can think about during the Christmas gift-giving season. I was just reading on the internet a couple days ago about how a priest in a very small parish said to his parishioners, "I don't want any gifts for Christmas this year. Don't give me anything. But what I would like is for you, your gift to me would be if you went to confession or you went to the Sacrament of Reconciliation." And he said that to a T, I think it was like 300, all took him up on it. And a number of them had not been to confession for over 20 years. So that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah, when people ask you, what do you need, Father? That's a good one.
There you go. I mean,
yeah, that's a creative, good idea. Yeah, that really would be the joy of a priest to see people really entering into the gift of Jesus. He has come to forgive us. He has come to bring us this new life, and you know, our joy. I mean, not only priests, but all of us who are, you know, as we're walking with the Lord, nourished with his sacraments. We want to see others who do not know him or have been away to come back. And that's a beautiful way to answer anybody who says, well, what can I give you for Christmas?
Well, and for lay people, maybe, you don't have to tell them, but maybe offer a mass, go out and buy a mass for someone who is away from the faith. And, you know, just to put those extra prayers in around this time of year as you're present to them. And it doesn't have to be something that you have to even let them know that you've done. But the idea that the best gift you can give anyone is, as we said, Father, a relationship with our Lord.
Yeah. We're all made to enter into a communion with God, union with God. That's the goal of everyone's life, is to be in union with God. That's our destiny, one day for eternity, to be in union with God. And, you know, we're trying to begin that new life now, and that's, you know, we have the channels of grace. We have the example of the saints, and they were sharing in those first fruits of the new life, and it's open to all of us. And you know, that really be our Christmas wish, you know, for others, is that, you know, we all drink deeply of these waters of salvation, the new life the Lord offers us. Just to go back to the presence of God a little bit, a couple of nice little lines here of, here's Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, sort of a contemporary of the Little Flower, and she sounds so much here like the Little Flower. 11 days before her death, she wrote, "I think that in heaven my mission will be to draw souls by helping them to go out of themselves in order to cling to God by a holy, simple, and loving movement, and to keep them in this great silence within." she speaks of this awareness of really what has happened at our baptism. We have become this dwelling place of God. And the more we are aware that God is within us, it's in some ways it's beginning heaven on earth. She says, it seems to me that I have found my heaven on earth, since heaven is God, and God is in my soul. The day I understood that, everything became clear to me, and I wish I could whisper this secret to those I love, that they might cling closely to God through everything. One we mentioned before, the Brother Lawrence, the practice of the presence of God, he was as comfortable in the chapel as he was in the kitchen, in the shop. He was always aware that God was with him. And his advice, he would forget. He said, sometimes I would forget 100 times a day, but I would come back 101 times back to that awareness of that God is with me at every moment. And that changes, you know, it changes everything. And in a sense, it changes that we do live in time, but we are also, you know, we are children of eternity. It was a phrase that Archbishop Kurth up in Allentown Diocese, we had a pro-life mass there. And he spoke to us. He said, well, I don't want a pro-life group within my parish. We're a little stunned. He says, I want a pro-life parish. If we could almost say that, I don't want a prayer time. I want all time to be prayer. That's a little shift of everything. And I think that's what, this practice of the presence of God is really living in time, yes, but we're living aware that we are children of eternity, that God dwells within us now, and we're beginning the first experience of this full reality of God after life, this life, the beatific vision. It's something that in every activity, at any moment of the day, is the right time, it's the right place to become aware of God, that God is always there. And so it's something to me of taking God is Emmanuel, God is always with us, the Psalm 139, at every moment, every place, God is there. We can't go anywhere where he's not. And to be able just to take that reality and then just live it in a way that opens our life up. Every situation, he's there, and then to be aware of God. And so I think it helps us to go through the day. It goes through, whatever we have to deal with, that we're not alone. God is with us. And to live in that communion with God, I think, is really what this new life Christ Jesus offers us is about.
Well, I can't think of a better way to close, because that was a great way to summarize what we've been talking about this half hour. And I think that is the challenge that we all face. And Brother Lawrence did say it was a practice. So it's okay to know that it doesn't necessarily come naturally to any of us, but if we have a desire to do it, and to instead of feeling discouraged when it doesn't happen as naturally or as frequently as we want, to realize that it didn't for him either. And I think I read somewhere, Father, that it took him about 10 years to perfect it.
Well, he said that it was a special grace. He refers to it as letters, that it was a grace that God gave him, that he felt that he was just always in God's presence. He was just looking on God. God was looking at him at every moment. But he said that at the same time, that the more we try to seek to live in his presence, he said that God gives us the you might say, the ordinary graces. He received, we might say, an extraordinary grace of that awareness of his presence, a special grace from God. But he said that for all of us, the seeking to live in his presence, God will give the graces that will in some way approach that, what he calls the simple gaze, that we're always in his presence. So, I think he's encouraging all of us, to go this path. And if, St. Augustine says, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. That sense of rest and coming to the completion of the perfection of what our lives are about is to be with God, to be in union with God. And the practice of living in his presence is a real moment-to-moment, at-hand experience for all of us. No matter what our vocations, what age we are, it's always the right time and the right place to be aware of God, to live in that communion of life that he offers us.
And the other thing, too, Father, I thought, too, which is what's so good about that book, was that, he often said that you're going to feel sometimes as though you're not going to be able to do, make every decision the right way, or to perform your tasks the way that you think ought to be done in terms of serving the Lord. But I think he said, you know what, he got to a point where he just said, I am not going to worry myself about how I do these things. I'm just going to do them out of love for God. And God will understand if it, you know, if I didn't do this the right way or I didn't do it perfectly, because my intention was to do it in a way that I loved God and I was trying to reflect that love for Him.
And his life is really a reminder that all of our lives are to be lived for God. And, you know, God is the audience that we wish to please, not others. And once he made that choice, everything was for God. You know, he lived in that joy and the simplicity of this new life. God calls all of us to holiness. All of us are on this path of leading ultimately to union with God. And all of us, I think, when we can find something that will help us to go that way, and I think we've been offered in that practice of the presence of God, something that's open for all of us. It's a path for all of us. And maybe, you know, what he did, he made that decision. He made an act of the will. I want to dedicate my life to you. I live my life for you. I do everything to please you. No matter how insignificant it might seem, it's being done for you. I do it out of love for you. And then it has a merit far beyond what you know we could comprehend. So he could be just as comfortable making a meal or serving a meal or working in the wood shop as he would be at, you know, when he was in the chapel praying. Because in some ways God was always with him. Maybe as we approach our new liturgical year, we have our New Year's resolution. Maybe we can make a new liturgical year resolution as we enter our new time of Advent. That maybe it is to pray for that grace to live in God's presence at every moment, to be aware, and that we don't have to tackle everything on our own. I think it makes life a lot easier. I think that's often where we get ourselves tangled up, is that we try to handle it always on our own. And the Lord's offering us, you know, I want to come into your life. I want to come into your every situation. I want to be part of everything in your life. I want to share everything of your life. And for us to, you know, really take him at his offer and respond, you know, we make that resolution. Lord, you're welcome in my heart. Help me to live aware of you, and that my life glorify you, and be constantly aware that you're always at every moment in every situation with me. Everything will look the same, but everything, I think, will be different on the inside for us.
I think so too, Father. We have been speaking with Father Peter Welsh, and he has been speaking with us on Coatesville Connection this month. And if you'd like to hear this, I think there's so much in this show. If you want to hear it again, it is available on audio archives at our website, www.holyspiritradio.org. And you want to click on the link for Coatesville Connection. Well, Father, thank you very much. We look forward to speaking with you next month on a great topic as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.